I'm Lynn Neary, sitting in for Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we share your comments about education, and we come clean for all you history buffs out there. Backtalk is next. But first, it's time for our weekly check-in at the barbershop, where the guys talk about whatever's in the news and whatever's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are opinion writer and blogger Jimmy Israel, freelance editor Nick Charles, editor Arsalan Iftikhar, and Ruben Navarrete, a syndicated columnist. Lots to talk about this week. Let's see, we have cries of injustice blanketing the town of Jena, Louisiana, and President Bush has a secret stop in Iraq. If I have anything to say, I may jump in on this conversation, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop.
Hey,
how
Jimmy.
We doing?
Hey, man. That's
good,
great.
Man, good. How you doing?
All right. Well, let's jump right in the mix. Let's talk about President Bush making a surprise trip to Iraq with a small corps of reporters and staff in tow. Now, Ruben, the R.
Yo.
This is a necessary trip or another Bush photo op? What's up with that?
It's very necessary. I'm not sure it's going to do much good, but it's necessary because it's sort of a preemptive strike. You know, General Petraeus is coming back with his report on Iraq and how we're doing over there, how the surge is doing any day now. They've already had a preliminary report that says not so good, benchmarks aren't being met. And so this is really a preemptive move by Bush. What I find weird about all this is that there's a whole, it's like a dichotomy in the Iraq debate. On the one hand, people keep saying we're waiting to see what Petraeus says in his report. But on the other hand, the Democrats are doing what they're going to do, and the president is doing what he's going to do, independent of whatever Petraeus says. So I guess what's going to happen, we're going to have like a repeat of Baker-Hamilton, whereby Petraeus comes forward and says, you know, guess what, the surge is working. But the Democrats and the Republicans are both going to do what they're going to do anyway.
Right.
You know, either stay or get out. They've already made up their mind. It doesn't matter what Petraeus says. They've already made up their mind.
Just tell us what Baker Hamilton is, Ruben.
Well, you know, Baker Hamilton was this bipartisan commission set up to study Iraq, the Iraq Study Group. And they came back with a recommendation about what we should do there. And guess what? Everybody ignored it.
Nick, Mr. Charles.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
Good, man. Do you see any good news coming out of Iraq in this new report?
Not one syllable coming out of Iraq that's going to be good news. My problem is I think General Petraeus is the new Colin Powell. He's going to have to sit there and give a report that is, if not full of holes, is not going to tell the whole story. And I don't think that it's really going to change anything. You know, Bush going to Iraq and all these secret missions doesn't do anything. I think it is a photo op because there's nothing substantial coming out of it, nothing of substance. You know, they keep saying, well, we could pull troops out, we may pull troops out. Today there's a report saying that, you know, the Iraqi forces can't stand on their own, so therefore, you know, we really can't leave in 18 months. I don't understand how people can't figure out there's nothing good coming out of there. The Democrats themselves, I think, are dragging their feet because no one has stood up and said, look, we got to get these people out now and leave the Iraqis to fend for themselves. And if we don't do that, it's going to be a longer haul.
Arsalan, A-Train, bring it home.
Well, I think that any sane and rational human being would know that we have a complete and utter catastrophe in the war in Iraq. And so I don't think that any Bush trip there is going to help both the reality on the ground and the reality here in the United States. The longer that we're there, the worse off everyone else is. And I think that everyone knows that by now.
Well, here's what I think. You know what? I think Bush is trying to fire up the electorate by any means necessary. And I think his trip was good for the troops, but the public can see it for what it is. Presidential posturing. It's election time politics as usual. Was it good for you? Now, all right, let's move on. Moving on. Emotions are high in Jena, Louisiana, where six black students are accused on various charges after jumping a white student. Now, two of the six, now known as the Jena Six, had attempted murder charges against them dropped earlier this week. Now, all this started when some black students sat under a tree on the grounds of Jena High School that was supposedly the white kids' hangout. Three nooses were tied to the tree the next day, starting off a chain of events, including arson and fights. Arsalan, what do you make of this, bro?
Well, I think it was just a little overzealous prosecution. I think when you look at attempted murder charges for, you know, a pretty common high school beating, you know that they might have been a little overzealous in deciding what kind of crimes to charge these kids with. The real question that we need to ask ourselves is if the Jena Six were white boys who had attacked a black student, would they have gotten the same attempted murder charges on them in Jena, Louisiana?
You know what? That's a really good point. But Ruben, here's my thing. I don't know if I want bands of kids roving our high schools, beating up kids under any circumstances.
Right.
Now, you know, attempted murder, I don't know, but what's the solution? How do you see it? You call it.
What a mess. What a mess this case is. I mean, bad parenting all the way around, okay?
Sure.
Can I just say that? Bad parenting.
Of course.
I don't know if that's fair.
Of course it's fair.
No, kids fight in high school, bro.
No, kids fight.
Yeah, not to bloody pulps.
If you are the parents of these white kids and they come home and say, Mom, guess what? Today I hung up a noose on a tree to intimidate black folks, then we have bad parenting.
Absolutely.
That's the beginning of the story.
That's the beginning of the story. But beyond that, somebody's got to pay a price for beating on this kid. This shouldn't be attempted murder, but there should be some sort of penalty attached to that crime.
Which there was.
Somebody needs to pay for that. It has to be a minor, you know, much more minor infraction than that, but we can't excuse that away. And I think there is a real sense that this community has dropped the ball in terms of raising good kids out there because you have some young people making some really bad decisions.
Before we go on any further, I just want to let people know who may just be joining us that I'm Lynn Neriam, sitting in for Michelle Martin, and you are listening to the guys at the barbershop talk about President Bush's trip to Iraq, an update on the Gina 6 in Gina, Louisiana, and a lot of other topics. So now, back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Lynn Rock. Nick, what do you think?
Man, this is deja vu. I'm going back to the 60s and 50s, the white tree, where white kids sit under a tree, and you can't tell me the officials at the school didn't know about it.
But at this point,
with all the reduced charges, I think there's some public pressure coming down on the prosecutor, Reed Walters. But what I'm smelling is a gubernatorial pardon. At some point, Kathleen Blanco is going to have to come in and say, you know something, okay, these kids beat up this kid, they admitted to that, so simple assault would have sufficed. But I don't know what she's going to say to the school officials who knew about the white tree. How do you have a tree where kids sit every day and you look around at the tree and you see no faces of color, and then one little kid goes up to one of the official, to the principal or one of the officials and says, hey, I want to sit under a tree. And he says, sure, you can sit wherever you want, knowing that, wait a minute, this has been going on for a long time.
Now, Nick, what's really kind of, you know, captured my imagination a little bit is that, you know, this is kind of caught fire nationwide. We got radio host Michael Bisden. He's launching an awareness campaign. Do you think the national movement will make any difference at all in the way this whole thing plays out, Nick?
Well, that's why I said I think the governor's going to step in, because it's going to be a national embarrassment. You know, you can't have a town in your state basically acting as retro 1956.
I have a question. How big do you think this national campaign is at the moment? I mean, how widespread is the knowledge across the country about the Gina 6?
Well, you know what, Lynn Rock? You know, it's all over my listserv. How are you hearing it?
I don't think that it's big yet. It may get bigger, but one of the reasons, and again, it's a messy story. This is about kids who admit to beating up on this kid. So it's really hard, I think, to paint them a victim. If they were brown, purple, or whatever, I'd feel the same way. I mean, eventually, African Americans have to stop seeing themselves as victims in a situation like this.
Wait a second, Ruben. This was not attempted murder. I'm sorry, bro. It wasn't attempted murder.
But I think the attempted murder charges have been dropped, right?
But they were dropped after the pressure began. You have to understand that these kids were all alone. I mean, this is not an isolated incident. This is just the magnified reality of what's going on the ground. And it is
so important. So they were the victims of a racist jury system.
The question we have to ask is, if it was six white kids who had beaten up a black kid, would they have...
We know the answer to that came from the Duke LaCrosse case.
Exactly.
That
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, there the DA actually goes and spends a day in jail. But the kid who got the beating is the victim, not the kids who gave the beating.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Nick.
I agree with Ruben to a point where he says that a kid who got the beating is a victim, but I think the six kids or the five kids being victims of the prosecutorial system.
Right.
Yeah, you have a prosecutor who himself has visited the school, didn't seem too interested in what the black students had to say, and now he's going to level these charges. And I still think anything beyond simple assault is too much. And that's why I think, you know, it reminds me of the Allen Iverson case out in Virginia years ago when Doug Wilder had to come and say, wait a minute, you can't put a guy in jail. There's a big fight at a bowling alley, and one guy is going to do 10, 15 years. That's nonsense.
You know what? This is what I think. Race plays out in an ugly way here, clearly. Now, I think the murder thing is going to be a hard thing to prove, and I'm glad it got dropped. But on the other hand, we can't allow kids to thug up and jump people in the halls of our hallways. Right. Now, this is Jimmy's Court. The kids who did it should catch an assault case, mandatory counseling, shock probation, case closed. All right. You know what? Moving forward on a lighter note, yo, your boy Eddie Griffin had the plug pulled on him at the Black Enterprise event for using the N-word. Now wait a second. Nick.
Jimmy, first of all.
Go ahead, Nick.
Who was the genius that invited Eddie Griffin to a Black Enterprise golf?
They're like,
have they never screened what he does? Have they never seen his stand-up?
Right.
Now, when you think Black Enterprise, you think Byron Allen. You don't think Eddie Griffin, and I have no sympathy for Black Enterprise and their golf thing with, to invite this guy who I think is funny but who uses that language all the time.
Can There's I interrupt no way- one second?
Joe.
Yeah, Lynn Rock, bust
the headline.
Lynn
Go ahead, Lynn.
I like that new name, by the way. But you know what? I don't know who Eddie Griffin is.
Eddie Griffin is a comedian who basically post Eddie Murphy era, he came up with the Chris Rocks, and he's not as big as those names. He's much more in the community. Black folks know who he is.
Right.
Exactly. His and of course he was also in a couple of movies about male prostitutes.
Deuce Bigelow.
Bigelow once and two.
He's that guy.
That guy.
Lynn Rock. You know, Eddie Griffin is the poor. Eddie Griffin is the poor man's Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, got it now.
I wouldn't even say he's a poor man's Chris Rock because Dave Chappelle is way on a different level.
That's true. Also.
All right. Ruben, check in on this, bro.
It's good that they pulled the plug on him. I'll tell you why. I felt a little differently when I read the story, and I realized that after the plug was pulled on him, the person who did the plugging sort of went out to the audience, and he got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
You know, the black folks in the audience said, you know what, I'm glad you pulled the plug on him. You know, he was overdoing that with the word, using it overly repeatedly. And there can't be a double standard here. If it's wrong for Michael Richards to say this in a tirade, then it's wrong for Eddie Griffin.
Ruben, you know what? Hold on.
Wait a second, Ruben. I'm wondering the same thing.
Ruben, now we know this is a crowd full of Cosby anthropologists and Pierre de la Croix type. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I'm going to sound like Cosby here.
Funny is funny, and you know what? We can go on and on about the N-word, but you know Eddie Griffin should not have had the plug pulled on him. Arsalan, A-Train,
Jimmy,
bring us home.
The only reason that he should, I mean, if you want to, let's look at it objectively. He was at a dinner banquet. That just, you know, even if it's an acceptable term to use in a comedy club, it was just bad form to do it at a black tie event.
Okay, here's what I think to bring this home. I think whoever hired Eddie Griffin should have the plug pulled on them. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap. I want to thank you all for coming to the barbershop. I got to kick it back to Lynn Neary, who's sitting in for Eminem. Holla.
Okay, this is Lynn Rock here. Jimmy Israel is an opinionated opinion writer and a blogger, and he joined us from WFSU in Tallahassee, Florida. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union-Tribune and CNN.com. He joined us from his office in San Diego. Arsalan Iftikhar is a contributing editor for Islamica magazine. He joined us from our studios right here in Washington, D.C. And Nick Charles is a freelance editor, and he joined us from our bureau in New York. You can find links to all of our barbershop guests at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Guys, it was really great talking with you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Later.
Yep.